Okay, so based on what some of the Talmidim asked, I figured that we'd discuss some basic issues of kashrus that take place in the kitchen. It's geared as much for the housewife as it is for the husband. I guess that's a siman that the husbands also should be helping out more in the kitchen. If now Kadosh Baruch Hu has made it that the dominance of the shir is to men, so it must be a message. Okay, the Torah Kedosha says Lo Savashal Gedi B'Chalev Imo three different times. It says in Parashas Mishpatim, it says it in Parashas Kisisan, it says it in Parashas Re'eh. And the Gemara tells us that the point of each pasuk is to bring out that there are three different types of Isurim when it comes to Basar B'Chalev. This is by way of introduction. And that is that the three prohibitions are, number one, eating; number two, cooking; and also deriving benefit. In contrast to a non-kosher piece of food, if there's a piece of nevela, the halach is you're allowed to derive benefit and sell it to a Gentile. However, basar b'chalav, there's a mixture of meat and milk, so then in such a case it's not acceptable to gain material benefit from it. And there's a fascinating question, and what we're going to focus on is basar b'chalav in the kitchen, but I want to share with you an absolutely fascinating question that might come up for those people who are interested in fields that involve research. Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, this is a collector's item. Rav Moshe Soloveitchik was asked in 1940. The boys came back from the bio lab in Yeshiva University and asked him. He's Nifter in 1941, so sometime before 1941, they asked him the following shaila, that they noticed that the chemicals that they were putting together in the lab, those chemicals were chemicals that had both meat and milk together. And therefore, there was a shaila of basar b'chalav, of cooking both the meat and the milk together. To which Rav Moshe Soloveitchik suggested the following chidush. He pointed out that there are two ways to understand the isser of bishul basar b'chalav, that you can't cook meat and milk together because it's an independent isser. Or, if you take a look at the Kesef Mishnah, of all places, in Hilchos Avos HaTumah, over there the Kesef Mishnah says that the prohibition of cooking basar b'chalav together is a prohibition that you might come, it's like a din d'araisa, a geder for the isser achila. And therefore, Moshe Soloveitchik was mechadesh that the isser d'araisa of bishul basar b'chalav is only in a context that might come l'idei isser achila. But if it doesn't come l'idei isser achila, then it would be mutter. And bottom line is, based on that psak, at least 70 years ago in the YU laboratories, they cooked basar b'chalav together. Interestingly, I found that the Chibina Rav, the Doiviv Misharim, in Chelek Aleph Simen Lamid, actually brings Rav Moshe Soloveitchik Svara based on the Kesef Mishnah. He's mechaving to that Svara. Nevertheless, the Dovid Misharim rejects it. And the reason why he rejects it is because there's a Gemara in Chulin Kuf Yud Gimel Mebeis that says that someone who cooks Chelev, is it, by the way, when you learn the halachas of Yeridei, you have to always, it's confusing sometimes. Rashi and Tosas don't have nekudas. Sometimes Ches Lamed Vav means milk, Cholav, and sometimes it means Chelev, it means fats. Every once in a while, people make that mistake. So what happens if you cook chelev b'chalav? If you cook the fats of the meat with milk, so then in such a case, then the Gemara says, you are over the Yisr d'araisa bishul basar b'chalav. Now, if we're going to say that the Yisr is only a geder for the achila, so then in such a case, argues the Dovah Mishorim, that in such an instance, we should say that there would be no problem of bishul basar b'chalav, because you're not going to come to eat the Isser Chelev. There already is an Isser Chelev. Even more than that, the Shitas HaRambam is, the Rambam holds that in a case of where there already was an Isser Chelev, there isn't a new Isser of basar b'chalav on it. But bishul basar b'chalav there would be. In other words, there is no new Isser of achila of basar b'chalav, the famous Nekuda Nefla of the Rambam. That's in parentheses. The bottom line is that there is a fascinating discussion in the poskim about basar b'chalav in general, as far as the isser of cooking chalav b'chalav. Now, what I wanted to discuss with you tonight is go from the laboratory into the kitchen itself, to try to make a cheshbon, what's going to be the story inside of the kitchen, some basic shilas that come up, and try to see how those shilas can be addressed with, I think, a very simple introduction to basa b'chalav. It's going to get a little bit complicated. In fact, I understand that Kobi also prepared food, so I'm going to ask you, Kobi, we're going to need some hands-on props over here. So what I'm going to need is the following. I'm going to need a little bit of basar. Okay, I think you have that. So it's yudbav. I'm going to need a fleishik dish and a milchik dish. Okay? And by the end of the night, I'm going to be sure to have made all of them treif. Okay? Be forewarned. Okay? So I want to go through some, almost all of the basic shailas that could possibly come up in basar b'chalav. Obviously, we're not going to conclude halacha l'maaseh. The goal of this of the shiurim are just to be ma'ora, that you should have a sense what the shailas are and become familiar with the most basic concepts in basar b'chalav as they appear practically in the kitchen. That's the goal. Now, it's really not that hard. By the way, this book is really hard. Tur Shulchan Aruch, Hilchas Basar B'chalav is really hard. Hilchas Taruvos is much harder. But if one becomes familiar with these basic klalim, we can possibly, Be'ez Hashem, summarize the basic issues really by talking about three basic things you need to know. The last one's going to be a little bit complicated, and that's when we're going to need the props. But if you hang in there and ask questions, stop me if there's anything that's not clear, so then we'll be ma'ora some of the basic shilos. Yeah, okay. You want to still go back to the laboratory. You're not interested in being pulled into the kitchen. Yeah. You can tell Joyce. Yeah, go ahead.
Is there an
Isser Hanah
also attached to this?
Yes. Echad Isser Achila, Echad Isser Hanah, Echad Isser Bishul. Those three things. Okay. Enochanami. Now, by other Isserim, there isn't. Like Nevela, if the animal is not slaughtered properly, there is no Isser. There is no Isser Hanah in the same way. Here are the three rules. Number one, what everybody has to know, which I'm sure you're familiar with, is that for Isser to be transferred, whether there's a piece of pork, or there's a piece of basar v'chalav, or meat that wasn't slaughtered properly, in all three of those instances, the way in which the Isser could be transferred is through heat, which gives off tam. If you have tam that was transferred from the item that's prohibited into a utensil, into another food item, then the Isser is created. In general, if the item is not hot, then the Isser cannot be transferred unless there's mamish mamoshos, the actual items that are rubbing together. So if every once in a while you'll have a fatty piece of meat that rubs against a milchik utensil, so then the halacha would be that one needs to simply be mefashvesh, clean off. But without the heat, so then in such a case, Isser is not going to be transferred. And of course, everybody knows the term shishin. So this is all rule number one, tam. That tam in general is judged. Do we assess an item as having infused the tam or not? So then the general assumption that Chazal gave is that if it's more than 60 times, tam was not transferred. If it's less than 60 times, then tam can be transferred. Now many, many a time, in a classic case, of where, let's say, you're washing dishes and you're washing, by mistake, a milchik and a fleishik dish together, or in the Beferish YNA newsletter, the shaila in which you have a case in where a little bit of something had fallen from a frying pan into another pot, so then in such a case, you have to assess, there are times that there's less than shishim and the shaila therefore does not start. It needs to be discussed and assessed. But that's rule number one. Rule number one is tam, and tam is transferred through heat. Rule number two, which is extremely, extremely important, and in fact, I would say, over 50% of the shailas that appear, the common shailas of basar b'chalav, become mutter because of rule number two. Rule number two has two parts to it. And that is the rule of Naisein Tam Lefgam. That is, that if the Isur itself has already been worn down to the point that it gives off negative Tam, or does not give off positive Tam, then it cannot create Isur to something else. The example the Ran gives for Naisein Tam Lefgam is just like the halacha would be that a piece of pork that's entirely inedible, it's what's referred to as Eina Ru'iya Lager in the Gemara in Chulin, is Eina Ru'iya Lager, then in such a case, of course, it's not going to be Osir, and a person who eats it, it's not going to be Osir. Says the Ran, that is the premise behind Simin Kuf Gimel in Hilchas Taruvos, the Simin about Naisein Tam Lefgam, that it cannot create Isur. Now, you'll say to me, why does that have to do with more than 50% of the shalos in the kitchen, right? If we were keeping the kitchen, you know, what do they call it, the mirror dira, so then in such a case, in those diras, it could be there are things there that are mamish, einu ru'il ager, einu ru'il achila, in the dormitories and so on and so forth. But if we're talking about a domestic kitchen, where did such a case come up of einu ru'il ager? So the answer is that any pot that has been sitting for longer than 24 hours and has not had food of its type cooked inside of it, in many instances, even if it was used within 24 hours, but was only used for water, in such a case, the halacha is that pot is already considered Naisein Tam Lefgam, and therefore the Isser that it would infuse, now obviously we're going to have to discuss those instances where it would give off the Isser, in such a case, the halacha is Bidi Eved, the food is Mutter. Which means, halacha l'maisa, that if a person cooks in a pot that he sure hasn't been used for 24 hours, in such a case, even if he cooks food that, let's say he cooks milk that's inside of it, in such a case, bid the eved, if it's no sin tam lefgam, it's going to be good. That is corollary number two. And that's why it comes up all the time, because many, many, many instances, the pot has not been used for 24 hours. So in the case of where you have a pot on, in the case that was described, on the stove, that falls into a pot that hasn't been used for 24 hours, we're not talking about two things that are being cooked simultaneously. So then in such a case, the mixture of the two pots don't necessarily create basar v'chalav if the second pot has not been used for 24 hours. I'm going to get more practical.
In the pot itself?
I'm going to get more practical shortly, but this is premise number two. So let's review what we have. Number one is the halachas of tam, the yisod of tam. Number two is the rule of Naisein Tam Lefgam. Anytime you have a case of Naisein Tam Lefgam, so then in such a case, halacha would be that b'dieved, it doesn't become asr. Now, why can't you do it l'chatchila? So the answer is beautiful, because we have another rule in Yoredeya of ein mevatlin isur l'chatchila. That's how many Rishonim explain. There are different Rishonim explain in different ways. V'amevin yavin, that might be dependent on how you understood Naisein Tam Lefgam. Is Naisein Tam Lefgam a reflection of ein mevatlin halacha of bittul? Or is Naisein Tam Lefgam a halacha of ein ru'uya l'ger? Close parentheses. Either way, one could simply understand that of course, l'chatchila, one cannot cook in such a pot, but b'di eved, the tam that was given over in that pot, the halacha is mutter. So that's rule number two. Now, we get to the most complicated part. And we're going to go slowly, Nether. It took me years myself to wrap my mind around many of the examples that we're going to discuss. So we're gonna go slowly. If it's not clear, stop me and we'll clarify. Third rule that I want to share with you that you've heard, many of you might have heard, but never really concretized exactly what this is the rule of Naisein Tam Bar Naisein Tam. What's referred to as not bar not. Nesinas Tam Bar Nesinas Tam. Okay, now I'm gonna ask for the props. So what I need is something pariv. No, a pariv of food. The Gemara's example is dogim sha'olu b'ka'ara. That's what the Gemara's example on Kuf Yud Aleph on the basis.
Herring.
Okay, shmalz herring. So dogim sha'olu b'ka'ara. Actually, by the way, speaking of shmalz herring, I'm not talking about shmalz herring. Everything that we're going to discuss tonight is, well, actually, it's not a good example for the reason I'm about to say. Everything that we're going to discuss tonight, and this you have to keep in mind, is not, we're not going to discuss something which is sharp. If something is sharp, then the halacha changes for part two. If you, that's perfect. Yeah, carrots is great. So, okay, all we need is one. All we need is one. We're going to eventually need pass around. Okay. So, eventually we're going to need also a fleishig pat and a couple of fleishig things. Yeah.
Just understand number two.
Okay, absolutely.
Meatballs. Mm-hmm. It goes into a dairy pot. It's not used for carrots, but the evidence.
But the evidence, the halacha is that you're allowed to eat it. Right.
Even if there's.
By the way, I'll add, I like to tell my kids, my wife's a descendant of the Bnei Yisachar. The Bnei Yisachar said that there are some, when the halacha says it's mutter, but still, you know, it's pasnish. You know, how can you possibly eat something that, you know, even though it's not usser, but it's like in my heart of hearts, there's a part of here that's basar v'chalav, right? And ashrecha Yisrael, that you would never have thought that such a case that the halacha should be that it would be mutter b'dieved to eat. So the Bnei Yisachar had it, for those who like Hasidus, had a beautiful Hasidish take on it. He held that you're supposed to eat such food. When halachically, when all the poskim say that there is bittul, the Bnei Yisachar said you're supposed to eat, because Alpi Hasidus, he said the following. Alpi Hasidus, this is not part of the halacha shir. Hasidus is also beautiful. And it's quoted, by the way, Rabbi Force quotes it in the Laws of Kashrus, in Art School's Laws of Kashrus, which is a very good book. So he quotes this Bnei Yisachar. Bnei Yisachar says like this: we all know Alpi Chasidus that everything in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's world is not, even those things that are gashmi and that could be evil, that have the potential of evil, to it there's no such thing as anything that's absolutely evil. What is it? Alpi Kabbalah, there's a mitzot, there's a spark of kedusha that comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but there are a lot of klipos that are around it. And our tafkid in Avodas Hashem is to be mekadesh the chomrius. See, he says, basar b'chalav, when it's alone in its klipa, so then in such a case, then it's aser. However, when it's surrounded by ruchani, so then in such a case, that's the whole tafkin avodas Hashem, to surround what is aser, and memela be mekadesh it. That's the beautiful Hasidus of Bnei Yisachar. So there was an approach in our family, from my wife's side, not from my side, that one should lechatchila eat such a thing. So my wife is always tells me that you should know that something fell. No, that you can't do, because then it would be aim of aplanis lechatchila. Of course, that you cannot do. What's that? With chasecha.
That wouldn't apply.
Right, it doesn't apply to. Right, so this is not the Dvar Mitzvah, right. Maybe it's not the Dvar Mitzvah.
Maybe that's what's true for
Mamashos
also.
Maybe
they look like
after something inside. Oh. No, because unless it will be so spoiled, unless you're, it's a bachelor's pad where the things that Mamash are so spoiled that nobody would eat. But once there's Mamashos, then of course it's going to be us. So. But the only time would be that once there's any mamashos, then of course, then it's going to be usher. The parallel of something with mamashos would be something that tastes so awful, so then in such a case, then that would be the only instance that we would say no same time lufkam.
How do you define mamashos?
Okay, let's leave that for afterwards. A fair question. I really want to discuss the most common shots that come up in washing dishes, and so on and so forth. Let's go to rule number three. No same time bar no same time. Says the Gemara. We need a fleishiga. Plate. No, not even a pot. A plate. Plate would be the best thing. Eventually we'll get to the pot too. Says the Gemara in Chulin Kof Yud Aleph Amud Beis. Dogim sha'alu b'ka'ara. So you have something that's parrot. In this case, it's a carrot. Okay? Sha'alu b'ka'ara. Let's say, for argument's sake, that this dish was used within 24 hours, right? Remember, if it wasn't used within 24 hours, then according to rule number two, there's not much to talk about. So you have a hot carrot that's olu bika'ara, that has gone onto a plate. Now already, once there's heat involved, then time could be transferred. So how would you and I define this carrot right now? What would we say in colloquial terms, what would we call it? We would call it fleishigs, right? It was hot, came in contact with something that had imbibed Iser within 24 hours. We would call this carrot now fleishigs. Says the Gemara, dogim sha'alu bekara. The halacha is, according to the Amora, who says, mutar lechol and kutach. You're allowed, can you imagine? You're allowed to eat this with milchiks. Why? Because it's not really flesh. It's not really basar b'chalav. Now we have nesinas tam, bar nesinas tam. The reason is because the first tam that came into the pot, in this case the dish, from the meat, it was used for fleishigs. Kobe put his special deli on top of this beforehand. So then in such a case, then it became fleishigs. So that's one nesinas tam. Then there was a second nesinas tam into the carrot. If you have a nat bar nat, de hetera, notice, this is not osir. This carrot is now entirely mutter. We wouldn't eat it with milchiks. We thought we wouldn't eat it with milchiks. So that in such a case, the Gemara, and we pass in this way in Shulchan Aruch, with a lot of caveats, that the halacha is that nesinas tam bar nesinas tam is mutter. Now before we go on, we have to point out a few exceptions. Number one, exception number one is this only applies to shaylov basar v'chalov. If, however, this was treif, this plate was treif, so then in such a case you don't have the heter of nesinas tam bar nesinas tam. And the reason for it fits in beautifully to the most common explanation to the Gemara that says not bar not the etera is mutter. And what's the explanation of not bar not the etera being mutter? It works as follows. The tam is so weak. There was tam basar that came into the plate. Okay, so it's a fleishik to the plate. Then there was transferred again into the carrot. It's what the paiskim call a tam kolush. That's already a weak tam. So then in such a case, what are we going to say? That you're eating basar b'chala when you eat the carrot with the yogurt? Nah. This you'd be able to dip into the yogurt. In such a case, that would be permissible. That is the basic heter of not bar not.
I have a question.
Yes?
Does it matter if the plate was used, if it was clean first, or let's say I used it 10 minutes ago, never cleaned it, and then...
Oh, okay. Excellent point. What we are going to discuss for the next 10 or 15 minutes is only those instances where the plate was clean. If, however, like what happens when you're washing the dishes, so then you have some leftover deli inside of a pot, and then the deli itself comes in contact with a milchik item, so then in such a case that will be a different story. We're only talking about a case of heat that's transferring tam. Nesinas tam bar nesinas tam. And again, keep in mind, exception number one to the heter of not bar not is that it only applies to basar b'chalav. It doesn't apply to shari surim, which means for those people who are in working contexts where there is macholos asuros, that there is food that is not kosher from a Gentile outside of basar b'chalav, you can't use this heter of not bar not. The tam kolush heter does not apply. Now there is a celebrated machlokas that already went back to the Kadmoinim. It's one of these fascinating cases where we have a tradition from the Bali Tosas. We were crying a little bit about this yesterday on Tisha B'Av, that we have a tradition of the Rivon, Rashi's son-in-law. There's, as far as I know, and I don't know Chulin Kold, unfortunately, but as far as I know, there's no Rashi like this that says it, but the Rivon is quoted on Kuf Yud Aleph on that sugya in the name of father-in-law Rashi as having the following chumrah. And the Mechaber and Ramah debate this chumrah. What happens? Let's now get a pot. Do we have a pot? A flay sugar pot? Okay. Let's assume now a frying pan is the same thing as a pot. What happens if instead of the item, the dogim, the carrot, being placed on top of the item, it's now cooked inside of the pot? Do we say the same svara that it's tam kolush? Or maybe now, when we're talking about something that's cooked, we do know that cooking has a stronger power than simply two items running against each other. Says the Mechaber, halacha lemaisa, show me a Gemara that says that the halacha is that you don't say not bar not. And Mechaber paskins and svardim follow this mi'ikur didino. We'll give the exceptions in a few moments. That the halacha is that if you cook the fish or the carrot inside of a fleishig pot, it was cooked, mamish cooked. So then bidi eved, you're not allowed to do this even according to svardim lichatchila. But bidi eved, in a case, I'll explain what that means in precise detail in a moment. Bidi eved, if the carrots are cooked inside of this pot, the halacha says that you're allowed to eat it with milchit. You imagine doing that? Isn't that fascinating? Mi'ikr didina, that's the halacha according to the Mechaber. So according to the Mechaber, not barnat de teira, even cooking. If you have something that was pariv, cooked in a fleishiga pot, one can eat the food inside of that fleishiga pot as well with milchitz. However, the Mechaber says you can't do this lechatchila. It's too scary. To tell people that they're allowed to cook inside a fleishiga pot. This, by the way, the Shach's understanding of the Mechaber, and this is how Rabbi Forst claims Sfardim follow halacha lemaisa, that the halacha would be that according to the Mechaber, one would not be allowed to do this lechatchila. But bidi eved, you would be allowed to take what we call food that's fleishiks and eat it mamish with milchiks. In such a case, it would be permissible. So this is the position of the Mechaber. However, the Ramah says no. The Ramah says we follow through all, we hold on tenaciously, as we described yesterday on Tisha B'Av, the drama of how the Bali Tosis passed on the Mesoras, despite all of the tremendous travails that they went through, and we hold on to any tradition that we have from Rashi. A tradition that we have for Rashi by us is Kodshei Kadoshim. So they have a tradition that Rashi disagreed, and Rashi said that even though there isn't an explicit makar, it seems, that says that cooking would be different, nevertheless we would be machmir for cooking, which means that the halacha would be that if you have this parva item that was cooked in a fleishig pot, we consider it fleishigs and we don't serve it in a milchig meal. However, even according to the Ramah, b'di'evet, if this was not a carrot, let's imagine this was pasta, and I'm cooking pasta on the stove, and my wife comes along, and she doesn't know that I cooked it in the fleishig pot, and she puts cheese on it. Such a case, even according to the Ramah, b'di'evet, the food is mutter. Why? Because we just said that lichatchila, the halacha is that you have to be machmir dogim sha'olu b'kar. Even in the case of bishul. But b'di'evet, even the halacha would be in such a case that the cheese would be mutter. Now, I'm not telling you to pass this at home on your own. However, this is the pashtus, the Ramah. And you should know that you don't have to throw out the macaroni before consulting a Rav in such a case. You call a Rav and ask the Shaila. But in such a case, mi'ikr didina, according to the Ramah, the halacha is that it is mutter. Similarly, if the food was cooked in an Eina bin Yoma pot, then lechatchila, writes the Ramah in that same sif, in Sadihe Aleph, based on the previous introduction, let's say this pot was Eina ben Yomo, and I know now that it's now Fleishik's Eina ben Yomo. The simple reading of the Ramah is, again, ask your local Orthodox rabbi, but the simple reading of the Ramah is that lahalacha, one is allowed to eat that with cheese. As well, because of the halacha that we had before, that Eina ben Yomo doesn't really transfer time. Now, of course, you don't do that lechatchila. You're not allowed to do that lechatchila. But b'di'eved, the halacha seems to be, according to Rama, that you'd even be allowed to eat that with cheese. You don't create that bittul in the first place. But once that bittul has already taken place, the simple reading of the Rama is that it's mutter. So many things that people assumed were usur aren't necessarily usur, and a shayla needs to be asked. Yeah?
I use meat pork to eat that pasta with the cheese. Perhaps that's appropriate.
I want to keep on giving the klalim, and then we'll take your case, because I haven't gotten to the silverware yet. I'm still in the kitchen before we got into the dining room. So I want to stay in the kitchen in the meantime, because as you see, every single thing is built on the next. It has to be to present this in 1 hour. The basic of kashrus in the kitchen, we have to try to stay as mesuder as possible, because the moment in which the variables change, then everything changes very, very dramatically. Which is exactly why I don't want you to come away without asking a shayla, a practical shayla from a rav, because one slight nuance, one slight change, for example, I said to you tonight, I'm not going to talk about davar charif. The moment you have something that's sharp, for example, if davar charif is not mutter by a kli, it's ein ben yoma. The halach is that davar charif could resuscitate ein ben yoma. So that's why it's good HaKadosh Baruch Hu had Kobe pull out first pickles, because pickles are a bad example, because if pickles are a davar charif, so then in such a case all the examples we said of Eino Ben Yomo, if you have a case in which pickles were cooked in an Eino Ben Yomo pot, so then in such a case it could be that the pickles are fleishik entirely, not like what we had said in regards to the carrots, that they're, according to the Mechaber, there's a lot of room to be makel. By pickles, the halacha might be different. Onions, most likely the halacha is going to be different. So, all this is to give you the basic klalim and to put things in perspective. Yenach.
How did we jump, just evidently understand the jump between enough or not from something that's a part of it to the cheese?
No, so the case was the following. Case was, I was cooking pasta in the pot, right? So this pot now has pasta, which has the tam of the dish. Now the shayla becomes, if b'di'eved, so there was two nesinas tam. There's a nesinas tam into the pot, and from the pot into the pasta.
But she's not, is not in the pot itself.
It's not in the pot itself.
Afterwards,
right. You see, that now we've already gotten to quite a few permutations already. Right, quite a few permutations, because you have the pot that's been cooked in the pot, and now you're putting it with the cheese. Okay. Now we get to our next level. These are the basic rules of Nesinas Tam Bar Nesinas Tam. So let's just summarize again everything that we've learned tonight. Let's summarize again. Number one is we've learned the concept of Tam. Number two, we've learned the concept of Eino Ben Yomo. The Eino Ben Yomo b'di'eved is mutter. Except we also threw in the big asterisk with davar charif. B'di'eved is mutter. And then number three is the concept of Nesinas Tam Bar Nesinas Tam. And a machlokis between the Mechaber and the Ramah, whether you say that only in a case of Dogum Sha'alu B'Ka'ara, but not in a case of where it was cooked. Do you say it in such a case? Or do you say, in all instances, Nesinas Tam Bar Nesinas Tam is mutter, and the nafkamina is that for Svardim Me'ikur Dedina, the halacha would be that even if the pasta was cooked inside of the pot, Me'ikur Dedina, you can't do it lichatchila, but it, with the intention to put cheese on top, but if you cook pasta in such a pot, you'd be allowed to eat it with cheese, while the Ramah would say that you can't. The only thing the Rama will be makel is if I already put the cheese on the top, I cooked the pasta, my wife put the cheese on the top, then there are opinions even amongst the Ashkenazic poiskim that according to Rama is mutter. But the Rama would never allow the chatchila beforehand to have the cheese used with it. Yes, sir?
What is the Rashi's
I think it's a beautiful svara. There's a difference between something, this we would have to ask people who are the culinary experts, but I think there is a difference between the amount of tam that is Kobe, the whole plan is just to get everybody hungry. That's the whole. So the idea behind it is that that tam is more poignant when it's transferred through water than it is when you just have two items that are rubbing against each other. And I think that makes sense. I think, but again, that we have to leave for both the scientists and the culinary.
You're saying it could be fried with different oils.
Fried is a fascinating shiloh. Fried, how do you look at something?
You got the fried bread, you said, let's assume this is a pot.
Right. Right. So the reason we want to do that is because the frying pan is actually quite complicated. Do you look at a how do you look at a frying pan? Because there's a tzad to say it's like sleep.
If you don't add any oil or butter.
If there's a little bit of oil, when do you draw the line then when it's considered bishul? That's the fascinating shaila in regards to a frying pan, which is l'shitasi. I'm trying to keep it in the most basic shailas so that you have the basic klalim to know the basic rules and to become familiar with it. Okay, now that we've got these three klalim, now we're ready to discuss another machlokus between the Mechaber and the Ramah. And here I want to point out that there are assumptions now where we get, up until now, I'm working hand in hand with, what do they call it, Rabbi Artscroll. Now, up until now, I've been working hand in hand with Rabbi Artscroll. I want to point out that every once in a while, there are instances where Rabbi Artscroll is machmir, where a forced shlita is machmir, where there are times you could ask a Rav, in cases of where you by mistake wash dishes together, that there might be room to be made. Now, let's begin an analysis together. Now, all three rules are going to come together. Tam, no same tam with gam, and not barnat. Let's say I'm washing dishes together in the vessel and in the style that they used to wash dishes in the time of the Ramah and the Mechaber. In those days, by the way, in my house, we have a lot of stringencies on Pesach. And we used to wash the dishes from Europe in this type of way. And that is, we would wash the dishes in a basin. In other words, you put all the dishes inside of a basin, and they all soaked inside the basin. Why that was done is this, we could discuss by Hilchos Pesach. So you have this basin, and in the time of the Ramah and the Mechaber, they would sometimes heat up the basin itself. And there was hot water that was sitting on the fire, and they would clean the dishes in such a manner. So what would the halacha be if you, by mistake, in the time of the Mechaber and the Ramah, where you have this basin, which Rabosai could be a Kli Rishon, right? You have hot water. Notice, of course, we know from Hilchos Shabbos that Kli Sheni is Eina Mevashel, which means that if the water is already in a utensil that's not so hot, there's no problem of Isser, because of reason number one, if it's hot, it's Yad Soledis Bo. But in the time of the Mechaber and the Ramah, they would wash dishes inside a vessel that at times was a Kli Rishon. So now let's do a cheshbin. We didn't realize. We put a milchga dish inside of a vessel that has mostly flay sugar pats, which happens all the time, right? But you didn't realize, and you put the milchga inside of the flay sugar, and it turns out that somebody washed the dishes, the cleaning lady washed the dishes, and they didn't even realize they were washing a milchga dish inside. Let's now see it, not from our modern sinks, but see it from the perspective of the Mechaber and Ramah. Who wants to go through it with me? Let's try to make a cheshbon. What should the halacha be in terms of not bar not?
No more mushes? How do you get no more mushes in a pot for cleaning?
What's that? No.
How do you get no more mushes?
Let's say, okay, so first of all, I've noticed many instances when we're washing dishes that there isn't a lot of mamushes at all. For example, I ate all the meat on my plate. I left over the vegetables. Okay? I left over the vegetables. So in such a case, would we say that the halacha is that even though there's tam going from one ben yomo pat to another ben yomo pat, Nevertheless, there's room to say it's not Barnat.
So let's
visualize. Do we have a couple of pieces of silverware? Your brother is worried about me trafing up the house. Let's push the envelope. One milchix, one fleishix. Okay, so we're washing the dishes now. Okay, we're washing the dishes, and here inside of this one sink, which has hot water inside of it, there's both a milchix knife and a fleishix knife. Great, that's fine. Okay. Kobe, I'm really scaring Kobe.
They use a separate basin for
milchix and fleishix. Ramesha Feinstein says you don't need to use it today. But in this case, they were washing both of these. Now Rav Zev makes an excellent point where Rav Zev says that if there's mamashos of Iser that's here, so then in such a case the Shaila might very well be different. Okay? In other words, if there's a little bit of meat that's on the top of this fork, and gravy, for that matter, then the story might be different. But let's talk about, as in many, many, many of the instances I've spoken to people where this happens, what are the odds that the item that you by mistake mixed in when you were washing? There are a lot of instances where there were only a couple of dishes in, and none of them had meat or milk on them. That happens. Okay.
Just quickly, does it matter the utensil you're actually washing the dishes with?
All of these things. We're not yet halachim. We're still in the 1500s of washing dishes. So we're going to get there. We're going to talk about soap, and we're going to talk about sponges, and so on and so forth. But I'm still in the 1500s. To really understand Tavshanai and Dalit, I need to understand the 1500s and the year 1000 and the year 200 when Rav and Shmuel were discussing Dagim Sha'olu V'Kara. That's the beauty of Torah. It's Marish. By the way, they say Rav Shechter likes to say that Rav Soloveitchik, when he gave Shir on Yoredeya, and he took Yoredeya not from being a Shilas of pots and pans. And he showed how it's beautiful lundus. And his mamish, Rav Soloveitchik Shiurim, and the way Rav Shechter presents it are beautiful, beautiful, beautiful presentation. They printed some of it. It's absolutely beautiful. And now I feel my tafkid is to take it back from the lundus and put it back into the pots and pans. Because there's all this beautiful lundus out there, but you got to know, bottom line, you know, it's not just lundus. It's got to be bottom line. Okay. So here, I'm sorry if I'm mixing up, Kobe. This is going to be milchix, this is going to be fleishix, and you're washing them together.
In a fleishix.
It doesn't matter what this is. It's not relevant right now. Now, what do you say, Rabosai? L'chura, I would argue the following. This is a case of not barnat. Why? This is a milchix pot, a milchix utensil. Is that what I said before? Is the milky one? That's what I was thinking also. Ice cream. We're all ice cream. The Rosh Hashim would be proud. Okay. So this is the Nesinas Tam going into the scooper. And then we have the Nesinas Tam into the water, which now goes into the fleishig thing. To the fleishig item. So what is that? That's not barnat. There's one Nesinas Tam into from the scooper into the water, and then even before that, there was Nesinas Tam of the milchix into the utensil, then into the water, and then into the fork. So then, in such a case, that's not barnat de tera, because by the time it came into the fork, there were already two transferences of tam. If there are two transferences of tam, then the halacha is that it's going to be mutter, not parnate teira. It's going to be mutter. This is the position of the mechaber in Sadi Hei Gimel. Over here, we're going to see that the mechaber tends to be on this nekuda quite lenient, and the Ramah introduces traditions. In this case, not the Rivon from Rashi, but the Balei Tosfos themselves, who said, "No, no, no. The case of Dogim Shaolu Bekara is not exactly that case." Comes along. The Ramah, and he quotes the Balei Tosfos, and the Balei Tosfos say no. In such a case, halach is you need to kasher both of them. You need to kasher both of them. Why do you need to kasher both of them? By the way, also, could very well be even this, the basin itself, that one of the guys had asked about before. According to Shach writes that even the basin as well. But we're not going to focus on that right now. Why? Why do you need to kasher both of them? Two possible reasons. Number one, says the Balei Tosfos on Kuf Yud Beis Amud Aleph in the Chulin, along the way, it could very well be that they rubbed against each other and everything was hot. Right? We're talking about where the water is hot. There's Yatzalevis. The moment they're going to rub against each other, so then in such a case we have to be Choshesh, that there's one Asinas Tam going directly into the other thing. Okay? I won't rub too hard. Okay, so that's so that there's one Nesinas Tam going from another Nesinas Tam.
Why isn't it not Barnard?
What's that?
Why isn't it not Barnard? It's coming to here and then.
No, because then it's going directly in. Another explanation that the Balei Tosfos give. Another explanation. And with this now I'll separate the two utensils because it's enough of the dramatizing. The other explanation is the following. That it could very well be that when the Milchiks goes in to the water and the Fleishiks go into the water, the two bang into each other. And the water itself already became Basar B'Chalav. So here we have the Milchiks, we have the Fleishiks. There's water in between. They're both giving Tam into the water. So this water is now Basar B'Chalav, which now puts the Tam back into the Chalav, the Chalavi, and back into the Bisari. So in such a case, by the way, the reason it's mutter for me to knock them against each other is because as long as they're clean, there's no shal, there's no heat also. Now if I rub them to the point that, you know, there'd be sparks coming out, so then there might be a different story. But until then, there's not going to be any shal. So in such a case, the halacha would be that the Isur inside of the water, says the Ramah, is going to go back into those two items and make them prohibited. What's that? Yes, correct. Rav Zev points out beautifully that it could very well be that the halacha then would be affected in terms of batel b'shishim. Of course, and here's where I finally, in my notes, I wrote down the point that Rav Zev said the first 10 minutes into the shiur, and that is, if we're talking about where these items are dirty with either chalav or basar, so then the shaila is an entirely different shaila. Because then we have to be afraid that the chalav came onto the bas, the milchiks came onto the fleishiks, or the fleishiks came onto the milchiks. And then you're not talking about not bar not anymore. Then you have to assess shishim, and that's where the rav needs, you need to ask the rav. Because how to assess shishim, amongst other shailas that come up, is not going to be easy in such a case. But realize that for Sfardin, there's a lot of room in such a case, in such an instance, to be Mekel. For Sfardin, there's room to be Mekel. According to the Ramah, we would have to be Machmer, and the Shach says that the moment that we washed these two items together with Yad Soledes Bo, you'll see why in a moment I'm emphasizing that, with Yad Soledes Bo, so then in such a case, halacha is going to be that everything needs to be kashered. The milchiks need to be kashered, the fleishiks need to be kashered, because the tam was transferred in both directions. Another simple nafkamina is, what happens if I know for sure that I didn't rub them together? Which often happens, right? Did it ever happen to you? You're washing the dishes, and you're still holding the milchiks over the fleishiks, and it wasn't, you used that milchik fork for tuna. You didn't use it for milchiks mamish. So you're still holding it over. Oh my gosh. And that's the worst, you know, when you put it aside and then you got to remember You got to remember what the shaila is, and when the rabbi finally answers the phone, I know we're all guilty that when he finally answers the phone. So, by the way, email is a lot easier. If I could say so. So when it comes to the fork, so then in such a case, then it could very well be that it's going to be mutter, because if we're going to say that the chash is that they're going to rub together, so then they didn't rub together. So now we need to throw the ball into the court of a Pesach and Ashkenazi Pesach. How do we paskin? Which reason do we paskin like? It could be that in such a case, even for Ashkenazim, there's room to be mekel, because if they didn't rub together, in such a case, do you say that there was a nesinas tam between both things? And we're going to see that it could very well be that in our sins today, it's quite different than the case of the Mechaber and the Ramah, where they were washing it in a basin where they were all stuck together, where they're all sitting there together, than a case in which we have items sitting in the sink. Yes, Arya. And that, then we get up to the next part. And with this, we're going to culminate Be'ezer Hashem, all the Klalim. I'm going to start again. We're going to review from the top. Be'ezer Hashem, take it from the top. We're going to review all the Klalim and then get to a couple of the Unim in regards to the sink. Okay.
This is also assuming that the Rosh Hashanah came in, right?
You know, when your wife asks you what you do today, she said you went to a Tupperware party. Okay, yeah. Go ahead, Aaron.
This is also assuming that they're both Benomo Kalim, right? If they're, if one of them would be Elminomo, then even more of
Minikomo. Oh, comes along the Ramah. This guy's telling me he's angry at me. I'm not sure why. I'm not sure what I did. But I think we're supposed to change the battery. Arya, your question only gets the audio, not the video. Yeah, go ahead. Yes, the Ramah writes the following. The Ramah says that if we're talking about one of the kingdom as being an Eina Ben Yomo, then the halacha is that one could be Mekel. And the post can then explain that you could be Mekel in both directions. You could be Mekel in the Eina Ben Yomo going into Ben Yomo. You could even be Mekel in the Ben Yomo going into the Eina Ben Yomo. That's the simple meaning of the Ramah. Correct. Yes, Sammy.
So just a question about going back.
Wow, I miss learning with you guys so much.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the, when we learned earlier,
right.
So now, let's say that what I'm trying to understand is that over there, so we see that you can have a hot flagship carrot based on the built-in time carrot with the pizza, but the two built-in hot items that touch now become.
Correct. Okay. Because they transferred one to the next.
So let's say I put the carrot that we had originally on the fish plate and then on the melted plate.
Okay.
So now they both transferred into the carrot. And
right, that's an interesting point. What happens if you have them transferring into the carrot?
Is that not fun?
Not
fun. Too hot carrot, too hot.
So the carrot's now a real shaila.
Really?
The carrot's now a real shaila. But in terms of Nesinas Tam, they never rubbed against each other. There is still two Nesinas Tams, if I'm not mistaken, going in both directions. But the carrot is going to be problematic.
Right. No, for sure the plates are required.
Right. Right. The carrot, the chur is.
Yeah, dipping into a kutas.
No, the reason to dipping into the kutas would be fine. Presumably, it's a fair ha'ara. Presumably those poskim who say that according to the Ramah are bothered by the fact that they're mamish rubbing against each other. That's what it must be. It's a nice hour. Okay. Comes along Ramesh Shafayim. Oh, we said we're going to do Chazar. So let's do a Chazar from the top. Number one, Nesinas Tam is through heat. Number two, is the only time we have to be machmir on any type of Nesinas Tam is if it's something that is not no Saint Tam Lufgam, which means that if the dish hasn't been used for 24 hours, bidiyevet, not lechatchila, but bidiyevet, it's going to be mutter. And number three, we learn the concept of no Saint Tam bar no Saint Tam, And that is the case of Dogim Shalu Bekar. The reason I'm repeating this over and over again is because it took me years to get this straight in my head. Because the moment you forget one thing, it gets confusing. Dogim Shalu Bekara, meaning that you have the carrot that's being put on the fleishiga dish. The halach is that you're allowed to eat it bikutach because there are two nesinas tam, it's a tam kolosh. We said when it applies shari surim, it's not going to be mutter. And we have two chumras of the Ramah. Here it's not worth it to be Ashkenazi. And two chumras of the Ramah are the following. Number one, the halach is that nesinas tam bar nesinas tam does not apply if any of the nesinas tam are through bishul, as opposed to simply sitting on something that's hot, then it's more poignant. That's chumra number one. So therefore, in the case of the Ramah would not allow if I'm cooking the pasta in a fleishiga pot. Then in such a case, then he would say that that's not considered two nesinas tam and memela mutter to eat with the kutach, even though the mechaber would say that noodles that are cooked in a fleishiga pot, bidyeved, you're allowed to eat mamish with milchix, you're allowed to put cheese on top. The Ramah would not. And finally, then we discussed another chumrah of the Ramah, that the Ramah says that you don't say nesinas tam bar nesinas tam when you're washing dishes together for one of two reasons. Either because the basar and chalav meet in the water itself and then they go back to the scooper and the knife and make both of them usr, or they rub together, and in such a case there is nesinas tam that's transferred. Says Ramesha Feinstein Zatzal, Yoredei Achelek Aleph Simin Mem Beis, that it could very well be that many of these, even the chumras of the Ramah, don't apply in most instances in sinks. And here's the following discussion. What happens, my parents, may they be well, still have a single sink. They have a sink for both milchix and fleishiga. Most people now, most religious people, when they build a kitchen, They put two separate sinks. My parents still had a single sink. So Ramesh is bothered. All the poskim were bothered. It was a Hasidish Rebbe that wrote to Ramesh Feinstein, and he said, how could they use a single sink for both milchix and fleishiga if at the end of the day, the sink absorbs the, let's say, I just washed fleishiga inside of the sink. The sink now has become fleishiga. And then, if I'm going to wash something that's milchix inside, so then in such a case, we should be concerned that the tam is going to be given off from one to the next. And Ramesha Feinstein develops a yisod that's very, very important for our purposes. Ramesha points out, this is all based on Kanmani, none of this is Ramesha's chiddush. There are Rishonim that say that the halachi is that the moment that there's nifsak hakiluach, the moment in which the water is no longer extended from a kli rishon, and it already has been detached from its original kli rishon source, the halacha is that it's no longer considered something that's able to be mevashem. So says Ramesha, the only way a sink could become treif is if you had hot fleishiks falling onto one area of the sink and hot milchiks falling onto the same area of the sink, but one on top of the other. But the moment in which it ran along the source and it no longer was connected to the original bishul, even if the water is hot, says Ramesha, the halacha is going to be that the sink does not become treif. Therefore, Mi'ikur Dedina, Rav Moshe says that using a single sink for both basar v'chalav is not going to be problematic. And notice, what was the only shaila that the Ramah had? The only shaila the Ramah had was if you're using one basin where you're washing both milchix and fleishiks together, where they'll either rub against each other, either they're going to rub against each other, or the water simultaneously is going to mix. But is there a problem really using one after the other, a sink for both milchix and fleishiks? Mi'ikur Didina says, Ramesha, there is no problem. which means, and then we'll get back to the case of someone who forgot and is washing milchiks or fleishiks inside of the sink, which means, says Rav Moshe, that the only thing that one needs to do, and this applies in the sink in the workplace as well, meikar d'dina, the only thing that one needs is to have a rack that's above the sink, and that, Rav Moshe says, is only for bali nefesh. That applies to all of us that are being machmir, but meikar d'dina, Rav Moshe says, that there wouldn't be much of a problem. Why? Because at the end of the day, we saw there's also a big tzad to say not bar not. Right? If there's nesin astam from one thing to the next, so then in such a case, it's going to be mutter. So even if, now by not bar not yisur, we said you have to be machmir, but Rav Moshe points out that the only time the sink becomes macholas asuras is if within the same day, meikar d'dina again, Rav Moshe says, the same day you had both milchiks fall on this spot and fleishiks fall on the exact same spot. The moment that they didn't fall on the exact same spot, it's already nifsak hakiluach. And then in such a case, Rav Moshe says, halacha is an ikar d'dina, it's no longer considered basar b'chala. So what does that mean in practical terms? Let's now talk practically. If a person has realized that they were washing our milchik item, and they realize that they washed the milchik item in a fleishiga sink. They didn't put the milchik item down, they just started washing it. So then in such a case, one needs to ask the following question. Is it the water that went on the milchik item, which again, was not an item that had mamashos of milchiks. If it had mamashos of milchiks, so then there's a different story. But let's talk about a case where there was no mamashos of milchiks. So then in such a case, one has to ask a few questions. Number one, when it fell onto the fleishiga dishes, was it still on nifsak hakiluach? Could very well be, in such a case, it already was nifsak hakiluach. Rav Moshe said that the halacha is that a sink really shouldn't become ikur d'dina treif. He says, bali nefesh should be machmer to put on a rack. That's question number one. Question number two, and here's the geshmak ha'ara, and here I take back a Torah from Rav Nevin Sal Shlita from Yerushalayim Yer HaKadosh, which is a Torah I think that already other poskim have used. Not a complicated Torah, it's a very, very simple Torah. The Mechaber in Simin Sadi Hei, to the chagrin of other poskim, suggests the following leniency. And I'm not going to answer all the difficulties with the Mechaber, but I'll just point out to you the Lashon of the Mechaber's Kula. It actually starts in a very interesting way. The Mechaber's Lashon is uncharacteristic of him, even though it's characteristic of the Rambam. Sadi hei dalid, ye royali, she'im nosnu efer b'mayim, chamin shebiyora, if you put ash inside of the water before you wash the dishes together, here he says, even if there still is fat that is on the dishes, that by putting the ash in such a case, now you made all of the water over here no same time of kam. And what do we say? No same time of kam. Everything but the evidence mutter comes along, and I'm adding a little bit of words from our great Rebbe, but this is how I understood what he said. Comes along our great Rebbe, and he says like this: that even though the Shach and others disagree with the Mechaber, they felt that in such a case that the Eifer wasn't enough to be considered no same time of kam. A little bit of ash, that's not enough. I don't know about you, I have a sensitivity for this. Maybe it's because I'm zocha to be a little bit Talmud of Rav Nevin Sal, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu made it this way. If the dish has not been cleaned from the soap, I immediately notice it in the food. I immediately notice it. Rav Nevin Sal says, if you have dish detergent, so then in such a case, it'd be the evidence that's considered no sin time of God. Which means, therefore, that even according to the Ramah, who says that the halacha is that you have to be choshesh that the tam will go nesinas tam bar nesinas tam inside of the water and not be not bar not the etera, but they're going to meet with each other. Nevertheless, if there's already a dover hapogum in such a case, mutter. Now you know why your mother always said use more soap when you wash the dishes, because the moment you use more soap when you wash the dishes, it really solves almost every shaila in such an instance. Bidiyeved. Now, of course, lechatchila. Just a second. Of course, lechatchila. You can't rely on that. You can't just wash milchiks and fleishiks together. But bidiyeved, the halacha is that you could be making. That's one sad lahakil. So that's the first thing that when you call the rav and you ask him that you mix them together, tell him you use detergent, and tell him you learned in the Tivariyeh. So that you have a tradition that in such a case that even the shach and others halacha would be that one could be mekel. That's number one. Number two. Here's another tzad l'hakel. Even though again the Rama was machmer in 1500 when he said that you're going to have a problem of the dishes being washed in the basin, that the water is going to meet against each other. We have tzad number one that. Many poskim say, and along with that, Reb Nevin Tzal, that the halacha is that the detergent is already considered a davar hapogim. Number two, the halacha is that the mechaber was mekil when it came to the washing the dishes with each other. Again, in the case of where there was no mamashos, that has to be emphasized where there was no mamashos. Number three. How many of you guys listen to your mother and put on gloves when you wash the dishes? Now, the gloves are not so important over here, la halacha. But what is important is how hot is the water that you use. So I'm into cutting corners, not using a lot of soap, and not putting on the water very, very hot. That's one of the reasons we have to have a second shiur on Shalom Bayis. At the end of the day, my wife looks at the dishes and she says I didn't wash them very well. But the second issue is the heat of the water. And that is that if the water is not Yad Soledes, well, that's another question that needs to be asked. Now, there are different shitas of what qualifies as Yad Soledes. Not everybody holds that Yad Soledes has to be so scalding that you would pull your hand... That today we would pull our hands away. There are different shittos in the poskim. However, most of the time, when we're talking about washing off a little bit of tuna fish from a fork, it could very well be that hot water wasn't being used. That's another sad lahakel, why that chumrah of the Ramah no longer applies when the dishes are together. Reason number four, we said from Rav Moshe Feinstein that the moment that it's nifsak hakiluach, that if you don't think that the water fell directly, the hot water fell directly from its original source, directly onto the other item, then in such a case also Rav Moshe is mekel. Ad kidei kach, Rav Moshe was mekel by the sinks. So a baal nefesh, of course, you use a rack. And by the way, I want to emphasize, I mentioned the workplace. In the workplace, it's more complicated because we said not bar not yisura were machmir. Right? So it only applies... When we're talking about basar b'chalav, we're not talking about that the pepperoni at work and so on and so forth. Then, in such a case, then the shaila will be much more, it'll be much more complicated. And there's a fifth tzad l'hakel. The fifth tzad l'hakel is another chiddush from Rav Moshe Feinstein, and this is a very, very, very big chiddush—a chiddush that I have a hard time wrapping my mind around. But just laying everything out, that you should be aware of the different shittas. Rav Moshe in Yaridea Chelik Yud Gimel suggests everybody knows the halacha kli rishon is mevashel and a kli sheni is not mevashel. What's the difference between kli rishon and kli sheni? So some say that's the way it is. That was kaf kidru chazal. The Bali Tosis give another explanation. The Bali Tosis give a beautiful explanation that on Shabbos you have to be careful, right? That you can't put the tea in something that was a kli rishon and a kli sheni. Some poskim are machmir because of kali abishul. Rav Soloveitchik was even machmir on kali abishul and kli shlishi. If I'm not mistaken, the Chazanish and Soloveitchik were machmer on a kli shlishi, Rav Moshe Feinstein was nekel on a kli shlishi. But the kali bishul means those things that could easily be cooked. So tea is something that could be easily cooked. So we have a rule of thumb, though, that a kli rishon is mevashel on Shabbos, and a kli sheni cannot be mevashel on Shabbos. matters. What's the difference between a Kli Rishon and a Kli Sheni? All of us are bothered by it, if we're thinking people. At the end of the day, now I'll get, if I could ask for two cups, just two empty cups. Thank you. At the end of the day, what's the difference? I have something that was cooked in this cup. I have something that was cooked I cooked the hot water in this cup, I pour it in here. Come on. It's just as hot as it was a second ago. So Bali Tosaf say it's a halacha. What do I mean it's a halacha? They say, in the case of which I have a cup that was on the fire, the walls actually heat up the kli. When it comes to a kli sheni, the walls are cooling it off. So that's the difference between kli rishon and kli sheni. So it's no longer about temperature. It's about what's surrounding it. Now, Rav Moshe Feinstein had this fascinating mahalach, and the truth is the most important thing is the things that we've discussed before, but I just want to throw out this fascinating Rav Moshe. I was just seeing Rav Moshe's fascinating mind, the way he works. Does anybody know, I didn't even think about it, but Rav Moshe thought about these things. What happens when you turn on the hot water? How do most of you do the dishes? If you respect what your mother and your wife ask, you don't turn on just the cold water. You turn on also the hot water. But you don't turn on just the hot water, because then eventually it'll get too hot. So you turn on a little bit of the cold water. So in my childish mind, I just sort of thought that, oh, when you turn on both of them, so you get this like in-between temperature. But of course that's not how it works, right? The way it works is, you turn on the cold water, you have a little bit of cold water coming, you turn on the hot water, there's a little bit of hot water coming. In other words, you have hot water and cold water that are combining. The water that's hot is really, really hot. The water that's cold cools off the water that's hot. Says Rav Moshe, every bit of water that comes out of a spout, is it like Kli Rishon or is it like Kli Sheni? He says it's already being cooled off by cold water. So even though technically it's above 35, 40 degrees Celsius, but it's also at the same time being cooled off by the cold water. Rav Moshe had such a tzad. Now this...
All the pipes from boiler.
What's that?
It went through all these pipes from the boiler.
Why don't you consider that even already?
Basement,
right. It's interesting. I hear that. I hear that. I'm not aware of Poskim using that, but I just want to share with you the beautiful mind of Rav Moshe Feinstein, that perspective. And this is why sometimes it's great to ask the Shaila, because sometimes a Rav who's really, really holding in these halachos could have a unique take, especially if it's a case of a Hefsin Merubah and so on. There are times that we could even use such a tzad to say, but I'm not aware of anybody that uses that halacha l'maisa. So Rav Moshe said, let's just summarize what we did today. We discussed the halachos of tam that's given over by heat. We spoke about the laboratory, but that is less practical. Cases of the kitchen, where you have cases of Eina Ben Yomo, Nosin Tam Lufkam. And then in such a case, if Bidyevin, in all cases, it's going to be Mutter, which means that any time, now let's put in practical terms again, of washing the dishes, any time the pot is a pot that is hasn't been used within 24 hours, in such a case, then everything is for sure Mutter. So, here, after you've called the Rav a couple of times, and he told you, yeah, it's Eina Ben Yomo, it's Mutter, you can even make that decision on your own. After you've asked it a couple of times and made sure that you got the Eina Ben Yomo right, you can make that decision on your own. I would say the first couple of times, don't do it. First call to verify. But if it's an Eina Ben Yomo, the Bidyevit, it's Mutter. Then we have the No Same Tam, but Nesinas Tam, or Nesinas Tam, the Teira. We have Machlokes between the Mechaber and the Ramah, where the Nesinas Tam, you have to be more machmer when it comes from the heat itself of cooking. It could very well be that by cooking for Ashkenazim, we're going to be more makel. For Machmir, for Spartan, we're going to be more makel. Then we spoke about the washing of the dishes and the Chumrah of the Ramah, where the Ramah does not use Nesinas Tam. If you look at Rabbi Artsko, this is my point, that from the laws of Kashrus, they don't make this point at all about dishes that were washed together. They automatically assume that dishes that are washed together are not going to be a case of not bar not. And my point is that the only time you start with this starting point, that dishes are not bar not, is if there is, as Rav Zev pointed out, mamashos. But if there wasn't mamashos of Isser, which in many instances, the milchig of fork, When the milk of the scoop that we started with was not mamashas of Isser. Actually, this is a bad example because usually this is being used for ice cream. But in many, many instances with the forks, it's not being used. So then in such a case, then you come back, and Art Scroll never makes this point, that you come back to not Barnat, and in such a case, for Sfardin, for sure there's reason to be Mekel, and even for Ashkenazim, we point out it's Nifsaga Kiluach, v'chule, v'chule, and then, even if it has all the above problems, you have to ask whether the water was hot, whether it was Yatzaledes boat, or if there's detergent. I'm not sure all Poskim use Mem Sal Zeter. But because again, the Ashkenazic poskim on the page don't like the heter or the mechaber. The mechaber started out yay royally, but there are many who argue. I saw other svarim as well. The father of Nemtzal would say that detergent is enough of a reason to be mekel. And then we pointed out that the heat combined with the other fascinating idea that Rav Moshe Feinstein had said. So those are the. It culminates with these shailas that you could apply all the not bar nats and the no sentan of kans for reasons to be makel. Yeah, Kobe.
Let's say that you completely clean your dishes. You have no fish in your dishes, and you have a dishwasher.
Okay, if you notice, I didn't discuss dishwashers at all. It says, Shem, you invite me back another time, Kobe, I'll discuss dishwashers. Dishwashers they're. If you notice, one of the tamim that I just gave, you can be matir dishwashers in general, right? Nesinas tam, right? But the answer to that is, can anybody explain why? You can't just say, exactly, the only time we're being matir in this case is that if b'di'evad you washed with the detergent, the halach is that one could be maker. But if that's not what happened, then that's a totally different ballgame. Yeah.
I mean, I know you asked about
yes, I didn't address that.
What oftentimes happens for me, I know, is that I'll leave dishes over,
that's what the next year is about.
for a while, and then I'll come to it, and then it'll all be dried and crusty, and it actually makes it even more difficult to wash. Perhaps, but I've tried to avoid that. But
right.
It seems like it's all.
There'll be no some time left.
Meaning, it's not. It's my mushroom still, but so it's just not.
Okay, so I have not seen, that's just because I haven't seen, I'm sure, the beauty of it in the Torah world today is that there's almost everything has been discussed. It's just a matter of whether you've read everything. I'm sure it's discussed somewhere. But I've not seen someone come along and say that since the meatballs have been sitting on the already crusting on the fleishiga plate, in such a case, that's already considered no sintan lufkam. I've not seen anybody even discuss where you're going to draw the line. Halacha lemaisa, we say no sintan lufkam after 24 hours in a dish that has not been used for its own min. By the way, if it's, we're talking about, which is our fleishik dish, if this fleishik dish has been used within 24 hours, but only water has been put on it, and not fleishik, it could still be considered Einar Ben Yoma. In other words, Kobe could have used this 10 minutes ago, but if he didn't put fleish on this within the last 24 hours, then in such a case, it could still be Einar Ben Yoma. That's something else that's kedai to point out to the Rav, that the Rav asks, hasn't been used within 24 hours. So you think back and you say, oh yeah, I ate tuna fish on it. So then, no, it could very well be, even if the tuna fish was hot. It could very well be that in such a case, that's not that it could still be an Einar Ben Yoma. It's kedai to make that point. I'm telling you all the things to say because every once in a while I know that I don't clarify that myself when I ask the person, and I should clarify that. You know, as I was preparing the shir for me, I said, wait a second. When I ask if it's an Einar Ben Yoma, I should clarify what the words Einar Ben Yoma means. Has it been used within 24 hours? So people say yes, but if it hasn't been used for fleishiks, there is room to be mekel. Now, coming back to your case about the crust, look, if it reaches a point, I'm worried it's getting late. I have a beautiful 5-minute shtickle Torah where I could explain to you how a basic issue in Pesach, the biggest machlokis that exists in the Jewish world today in regards to Pesach is what? It is whether things like toothpaste and medications and so on need to be kosher l'Pesach. Okay? Here's what's behind that machlokas. What's behind that machlokas is the following. And this, by the way, I was for years in the yeshivas, and then one of the godless of our great Rebbe, Rav Shechter, and until Rav Shechter explained it to me clearly in 6 minutes, it was never clear to me exactly what the issues were. So what I'm saying over now is the way Rav Shechter was masbered to me, and I think it's very, very helpful. Now, Rabosai, you could have... We know the halach in Hilchos Chametz is the following. We know that Chametz, that is nifsal me'achilas kelev, the halacha is that it's no longer chametz. Okay? That's similar to the concept that we have in basar b'chalav or in nevela, where you have something that is eina ru'uya l'ger, it's no longer edible. The only difference is that when it comes to nevela, when it comes to basar b'chalav, so then in such a case, the moment a human being wouldn't eat it, it's no longer considered a b'cheftza shel iser. On Pesach, we're machmir, that also has to be nifsal me'achilas kelev. So what Nachi is asking is, what is the line of nifsal me'achilas adam? So the answer to that question is, it has to be mamish nifsal me'achilas adam. And that is, that if under extreme conditions a person would eat it, so then in such a case it's still considered roi l'achila. Now here's the chametz question. And I would say 70% of the shilas that people call a rav and they say, harav, what's the halacha as far as this is concerned in regards to this, whether it's chametz or not, revolves around the following phenomena. What happens if you have something which never became nifsal me'achilas kelev, but chemicals were added to it which now make it nifsal me'achilas kelev? And that's what most medications are. Most medications that have chametz inside of it never became nifsal me'achilas kelev, but they had chemicals that were added to them that made it nifsal me'achilas kelev. So that's a big machlokas haposkim. Do you look at the result? Memela, the result is that it is nifsal me'achilas kelev. Or do you say no? Do you say that at the end of the day, it never became nifsal me'atzmo, and it was due to outside chemicals? If you think about it, medications are that issue. Toothpaste. It could very well be that the chametz never became nifsal me'atzmo, but then other chemicals were added to it that a dog wouldn't eat it. By the way, there's a very humorous moment, they say, in Rav Soloveitchik Shir, that they ask Rav Soloveitchik, somebody raised his hand and said, does toothpaste need a hashkacha for chametz? So the rub snapped, the dog wouldn't need toothpaste. So then the guy said, Rebbe, I gave it to my dog and my dog ate it. So Rav Soloveitchik said, your dog is crazy, we don't paskin like your dog. So at the end of the day, whether it's nifsal me'achilas kelev or not, whether it's nifsal me'achilas kelev or not, that's a fascinating question. So coming back to your question, as far as we wouldn't consider it ain't a ru'uya l'ger. Now the moment it's still considered ru'uya l'ger, that you would give it to somebody else under extreme conditions, so then in such a case, then it would be considered aser. Whether you and it has the ability to make other things aser. Where you would draw the line of where it's called nosein tam l'fgam, that it could be it's a machlokas between one's wives and guys who are living in a college room. It could very well be that there would be an akuda, but that I didn't see discussed. Okay, we could do a couple minutes on shalom bayis. That's the game plan. Oh yeah, yeah. Nachon.
Does all
your
play this effect then?